Thanks, guys. Let's get organized here. Lovely. So I'd like to read this morning from a couple of passages, starting from Romans 3. It'll be up on the overhead. Romans 3 from verse 1. And before we look at a new chapter, it's good to have a recap on what we've seen so far. We're working through the book of Romans, and Romans 1, of course, we saw, the sinless, the situation of how we stand before God. That wonderful verse in Romans 1 that talks about the just shall live by faith and understanding our position before God. Leading into Romans 2, where it talks about the them, or Romans 1, of others. And Romans 2, it brings it to the situation ourselves, where we stand before God. And that wonderful verse in Romans 2:4 that says that by your kindness we are led to repentance. God's goodness and kindness that leads us, not condemnation. And so it leads us on to Romans 3 this week. We're going to have a look and consider the position. I want to speak about three things this morning. One is cheap grace, a term that you may have heard before. I want to define that. Secondly, sin. And thirdly, real grace. So reading from Romans 3, we're going to pick it up at verse 5. And it'll be up in the overhead, I think, ready to go. So Romans 3, verse 5, reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Some might say, your sinfulness serves a good purpose. It helps people to see how righteous God is. It isn't unfair, then, for him to punish us. This is merely a human point of view. Of course not. If God were not entirely fair, how would he be qualified to judge the world? But some might still argue, how can God condemn me as a sinner if my dishonesty highlights his truthfulness and brings him more glory? And some people might even slander us by claiming that we say, the more we sin, the better it is. Those who say those things deserve to be condemned. Well then, should we conclude that the Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh, none of us will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for what it is that you are speaking and saying to us, even if we're not fully aware all the time. We may have heard these words many times before, these verses before, and maybe they have had a word and a message to us at that time. I pray, Lord, there'll be something fresh for us this morning, something we understand we may not have grasped before. As we understand the position that we're in, where it is that leads us, and what the answer is between cheap grace, the position of sin we find ourselves in, and true grace, the redemption that we find in you. Thank you for your word. Speak to us light and life this morning. Amen. Many years ago, there was a church called the Children of God. You may have heard of it. Anybody heard of the Children of God? It was a denomination, or there was a few of them anyway. And they took this verse to heart. Now, let's go over this one again, see what you think of it. And it was the verse in Romans, maybe we can pull it up again, and depending on which version. Why not say, let us do evil that good may come, Romans 3:8. And their understanding was that God is shown, his grace is shown, his ability to forgive is shown by the amount that we sin. So therefore, it's better if we go out and sin and do all sorts of things so that when God saves us and forgives us and redeems us all over and over again, that was their understanding, that it shows God in a good light. So the children of God philosophy was actually, we don't just sin and are quite relaxed about that, we encourage sinning, that God may be revealed. If you like, a really bad interpretation of this verse that we see here. Because that was the understanding of the context that Paul was speaking here. There were those that said, I've got to understand that God is gracious and he forgives sin. Yes, and I think that Paul was having conversations with people, as you may have in leadership, where someone says, so God forgives me, right? Doesn't really matter what I do, doesn't matter how many times I stuff up, he's going to forgive me. You sort of know what's coming after that sort of opener. Yes, then it doesn't really matter what I do. Well, it's not quite the point. But he will still forgive me if I stuff up. Yes, and the circular argument goes round and round. And this is the context of the understanding, and this understanding of God will forgive me and will keep on doing that no matter how many times I stuff up, we often term and summarise as cheap grace. The grace of God, paid only by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, is the only reason that God's grace can operate. And that was not cheap at all. That was very costly. I've said before, the only thing that God had that he couldn't make any more or get any more of, the only one thing, his only begotten Son. That thing alone was the only thing that broke the power of sin. And this thing that was given, this one, not thing, object, this one incredible relationship, his only Son, was given in order that sin might be dealt with. That thing cost him everything, and yet we cheapen it so many times. Now, we might look at others and say, I'm not a person who does the cheap grace thing. I've got that nailed. I mean, I do feel bad, Pastor, when I sin, and you may have had these conversations in your groups. I do feel bad, and I will confess to my person and some of you here, I feel bad when I sin. But sometimes we find ourselves caught in these same patterns of over and over and over again. Someone described it as a giant that sort of stands up, and we know the thing's got to be cut off at the ankles and being knocked over, but it stumbles to its feet, this giant in our lives, or this monkey on our back, or whatever the expression is, or even the elephant in the room, all rather big, cumbersome things that keep having their way in our lives. And Paul wants to address it here because he indicates that, yes, the sin is present. There's no one's denying it, but what do we do with it? And here Paul is saying at the start of this that we can't cheapen it. We can't say God will forgive, therefore I go over and over and over again. And he says at the last verse here in verse 8, he says that those who accuse others of doing that and making a mockery of the faith and being hypocrites, he said their condemnation of us is just. If we have been observed as a witness to Jesus Christ, not in so much what we say as what we do, but doing negative things that people notice, people say, you guys are hypocrites. Wouldn't want to be part of what you guys do, wouldn't want to believe what you do, because obviously you don't really work out what you believe. He's saying their condemnation of us. Remember last week we had the you word, but the you was closer to us than you. So for all of us, we may find ourselves in that situation. So it does us good to reflect at the start of the message today, does cheap grace ever so subtly infiltrate into our lives? Into my life? Is that something that I've been guilty of? If we do a sort of a mental inventory of the last week, was there something that sort of caught us up? Was it a feeling of anger, justified maybe? Or maybe a little bit of the pride that we talked about? Or even despair? Whatever the degree or element of sin is it something that we keep finding ourselves going back to? If I was offer one word of pastoral advice this morning, is that these are often not dealt with on a quick prayer at the end, although we very much do encourage initial prayer and starting prayer at the end of every service, and would never want to turn anyone away from that. I won't say but as well as that, there is something to be said for being involved in a small group during the week, whether it's an adult or youth life group, There's a number of them where we can start working through some of the stuff that are going on, because you'll probably find other people in the group have the same issue. Porn, gossip, food addictions, you know, we all know what they are. And all of us at some stage have some hang-ups with some of them. So Paul is not denying that for any of us it's not the case, but how do we deal with it? So dealing with this thing of sin here, I want to just move tack a little bit as we look at the sin thing again. Now, we've probably had a few sermons on sin recently. That might be the case, but we are dealing with Romans 1, 2, and 3, and particularly that's addressed. So I want to start with five volunteers. So I'll need some volunteers, some youth volunteers, actually. So five youth, doesn't matter who they are, could grab five chairs at the back there. Look at that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wonderful. Now, I'm not picking on you because sitting on the front. No, Liv, you can have a break because you're sitting on the front row. Will, good on you. Excellent. So I want five volunteers to bring some chairs and line them up the front here. And these are the youth, but I want you to think of them as the new, okay? They're also the youth. Now, the word old can work old and young, but it can also work old and new, okay? So, and I'm not wanting to make a contrast between the new or the young. That's right, just stick in front of me here, that'd be great. One, just facing that way, so you're facing the audience. I know the congregation, I know it'll be a bit daunting. That's right, we'll one down there. Great, have a seat, that's good. And two more over here, that's good, Jono. And Cam, wonderful. Now, of the rest of you who are out there of whatever age, who brought their Bibles today? Is there five people brought their Bibles today? I'm looking at, good on you, Neville. Great. Hand up nice and high. An example, thank you. 1, 2, 3. Any other Bibles? 4. And anyone else? Need a fifth person who brought their Bibles. Well, it's a bit of a sharp, isn't it? Or can put your hand on a Bible. There's one over there. Excellent. Livia, okay, you can come up here. In fact, no, just have a break for a second. Anybody else who would be happy looking? Liz, you've got one there. That's great. So you five, come and stand behind these guys here. I won't keep you standing long. Don't worry. Doesn't matter who it is. Someone that you identify with. Come and stand behind them. And when you do that, I want to do the next bit. I'll just give you a wee bit of room there because we have... Now, you stay where you are. Now, well, I'll just need you to go quite a wee way over there. We just need to have a little bit of separation because there's going to be a few whispers between that we don't want the others to hear. So you guys move along a bit this way here. Now, this could be the beginning of a beautiful mentor relationship. Now, number five, who was that? Someone else put their hand up. Someone else had their Bible. Who was that? This isn't scripted. Don, wonderful, Don. Good on you. Come over here and stand behind Nick. That's right. Very similar from the back, aren't they? Yep, yep. Okay. You're excused if you make the same mistake. Yep, go for it, Don. Don't be shy. Stand there. So you've all got your Bibles. Now, what we're going to do here, this isn't so much Bible races, but what I want to illustrate here is that the old backs up the new, or the old stands behind the new. Because what we have here in this passage is we have stuff from the New Testament and the Old Testament has backed it up. When we're doing stuff in life group with some of the youth, some have said to me, what's the story? We seem to be spending all our time in this bit, you know, at the start, but there's all this bit at the back here. And I said, well, we probably haven't spent as much time as we could in the Old Testament, but indicating it there, there is an awful lot in the old that backs up the new. So I'm going to just collate with these guys very quickly a particular verse, and I want then you guys to grab a Bible. Now, there's one up there, one there, Livy. Is there some more of those ones around? Doesn't particularly matter which Bible. Bit short of Bibles in the church. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Someone raid the news stall at the back there. Go and grab a couple from the stand so that everyone has a Bible as well as you guys. That's great, because you are going to be transferring or passing your information onto these guys. Some of them are not too sure where some of the books are. Is there one down there, Jono? We've got one more here, and we need just if you can grab two more. That's great. Is there some down the bottom there? I think there'll be a couple. Excellent. Good, bring them up. That's great. So, we look at the passage. Andy, would you bring them up? Thanks. The passage we're going to look at here is the next ones. Now, we've done a number of what it seems to be sin lists, as it were. They're not Bibles. Okay. See, so hopefully you can find a couple down the back there. Because what we have here is a passage I'm going to get these guys to look up there. Now, can you see? I'm just going to run this past. Perhaps if all the mentees could come over here for a quick second.
Do we look it up?
Psalms 14, Psalms 53, Psalms 14,
I haven't told the guys the verse, but I've told them the chapter. That's fine.
Right. Psalm 14:1. Is that what you had me to do?
So these guys aren't going to say anything because they are transferring their wealth of information. Look at this happening. This is a precious process we're seeing happen here. Information is being transferred from old to new. As we see in the Old Testament, the backing up of the basis of what this next passage is. When we had a look and read before, we see from Romans 3 verse 10 right through to 18. So the first one here, if we get into the guts of it, it says in Romans 12, there is none who does good, no, not one. Now, the guys behind you have all looked up at a passage and a part of the Bible that they are going to then illustrate to you. Now, Liz, you'll need a proper Bible. Sorry, have we got a proper Bible? This is really interesting how few Bibles we have in the place. Sorry, Liz, you'll need to use a proper one there. Sorry, just for the purposes of this. So what I'm going to get these guys to do is to, without the others hearing, indicate to the others how they will find the passage that I've told them about. And then I want you guys to look it up. So you need to turn your Bibles around, okay? Like this. So that's great. Turn around. Yes, so you're not having your finger in the page or anything here. And what I want you guys at the back is, whatever way you want to do it, indicate to these guys how they might find that book of the Bible rather quickly. And then when they've found it, then tell them the chapter within that. So you'll have a way of finding it, and then we'll get onto the verse later. Okay? So there is a verse, but I want to get the chapter, the book and the chapter first, etc. It's actually verse 1. It's verse 1, I won't tell you, because I want you to indicate to them, without just saying to them, tell them how you find this particular part of the Bible, how you have done it over the years. You could look in the index, I know, but maybe there's another way because this is a very large book of the Bible. When you have indicated to them without telling them what it is, it doesn't matter how you do it. Now, this is not scripted, as you can see, so you might have different ways of doing it. I'm hoping not looking at the index, you may remember it, but I want you to indicate that, whisper it to the person in front of you, and when you've indicated how it is that you've found that, I want them to look it up, and we'll see who finds it first. Okay, where you go now. So there's this transfer of information. Isn't this amazing? Now, those of you who are sitting back here that are thinking, I'm glad I didn't go up there, may get the opportunity in future to do this. So bear that in mind, because we have a number of youth, many who are away today, who would love to have this transfer of information. So when they have found this particular, who stuck their hand up if they've got the chapter? Oh, at the end here, okay, and very good. Now, I'm just going to interview Neville here because, thanks guys, we have a winner. So don't worry, if you've missed out, you've missed out. So just hold back there. And Neville, how did you manage to transfer the information so quickly that, I mean, your young man won that?
I told him.
The very thing I did.
No, that wasn't correct.
Had me go on that, yes.
Well, I said it starts with a P, so.
Starts with a P. Well done. And how did you find that?
I saw the first P.
Still the first P. Well done. Okay, we're going to look at the backup of that verse there, because this is in Romans 3:12. Now, I'm sure we all know this stuff. The reason I want to do this morning, and the youth may want to turn around from where they're sitting and just see this here, the backing up, the old backs up the new. As we're talking, the Old Testament backs up the new. So if you can read that verse out, thanks. Would be great. Psalm. Oh, hasn't actually got it. Sorry, carry on. No, hasn't actually got it. We went. Oh, have we got it?
What number did I say before?
Yes, you've got it. Very good.
Oh, do I read
well
it
done,
out?
June.
Do I read it
yes,
out?
Yes, read out verse
one. Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. That.
Thank you. That's excellent.
Can you tell me that it was one of the most famous books in the Bible, written by a great king?
Sorry?
One of the most famous books in the Bible, written by a great king.
Fantastic.
It was about the centre of the Bible, and then to look for chapter 14.
Very good. So, the book beginning with a P, excellent, Neville, and it was written by a great king, excellent. How did you do yours, Don?
I said Psalms is a big book in the Old Testament. You can find it easy.
Right, very good. Liz, what did you do?
I said go nearly to the middle.
Very good. Go nearly to the middle and...
Okay, so I said generally it's in the middle, but if you're not sure where... go to the index at the front and it will tell you whereabouts.
Right, okay.
Google knows it. If they want to know what, you know, if they've got that word, they just put a bit of that verse in and Google will take them to every other place.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Excellent. So this is what can be done. Yeah, some more wisdom.
We used to sing a song at Sunday school.
Let's hear it.
I don't know that I can remember it all, but Enid would.
Enid, come up here.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on, Enid. You've been dobbed in. Yep. Was that a verse that a song that helped you remember the words? Yeah. Okay, great. Oh, awesome. Very much unscripted. Live TV and all that. Yes, yeah. Yeah, we'll all help you.
Come on, Don.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're in different kings.
Keep going.
Joshua, Judges, Ruth. First of Samuel, Second of Samuel, First of Kings, Second of Kings, First of Chronicles, Second of Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, and it's just that right through to the end, and we know them all.
Thank you.
Our kids learnt them too, and our daughter was 5 when she did that in church before everybody.
Wow, excellent. So now, in handing on literally the microphone, there's a bit of a handing on the baton going on here today. I say that seriously because we mustn't ever take any generation for granted. What you guys have imparted, what you said here, I know we've done this in a lighthearted way. This is really important stuff. And what you've done there, who that's younger than, what age do I cut off? Andy, how old are you? Sorry? 30. Who's younger than 32 that knows the books of the Bible? Who could and do something like that and repeat them? Anybody here? Meg? Right? Okay, I won't get you to go, but you've pretty well got them nailed? Okay. Encourage you to do that because it's handy. I know we can look it up, etc., but it's really handy to do. Okay, well done. So we've seen the backing up there. Let's do another one. The next one is, if we have a look here, once again, you guys just shut your ears off. Now, they're going to indicate possibly through another method. This could be another book of the Bible, but we're going to see. So after what we've learned from the first round, are we ready to go? Okay, so you can confer with your mentees now. Go. There could be some reinforcement going on, or some repetition possibly. What is the method? Okay, so hands up when you've actually got it. Cam, this time, I think it probably was a false, just a missing last time. Okay, what have we got here? Let's read it out. And Andy, this will be the next verse on, I think it's verse 13. Thank you, if we could pull verse 13 up. Thanks.
13.
Oh, that's for me, verse 13.
Oh, okay. My enemies cannot speak a truthful word. Their deepest desire is to destroy others. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with flattery.
Excellent. So we're seeing here this translation or this indication or this backing up of the old to the new. I'm sure that many of us know this, but it's encouraging to see that Paul wasn't just blowing smoke here. He wasn't just saying, hey, these are things that I'm seeing going on. He's saying, this is what has been happening from time immemorial. People have been proud and they've got in the way of God because of their relationship. And they've continued to do this. They've continued to do this. So consequently, it's really important that we understand this. So, you getting the idea of this, guys? We do one more, okay? And I want you this time to here we go. Don't say it out loud.
Both of them were one.
No, just the second one.
The second one.
Yep.
I can't see the reference. Oh, darn. Sorry. Yes. I'm so sorry.
That's right. I'll find it here. Where's it gone?
Isaiah.
Don't say it. No, don't say it. Just read, don't say. Okay, last time here, we see once again this transfer of information going on. So don't say anything to the yet. Is everyone at the back ready to go? Okay, you can look it up by all means, but I want you to, without just saying it's this particular book, explain to the guys how you would find it and then get to find it. Okay, go. So stick your hand up when you've got it, guys. Show us that you've received and achieved the looking up of that particular passage. How are we going here? We're going to get a drift towards, so Will's looking very earnest, and Lauren perhaps as well. So who's found it there? Nick, do you have your hand up? Okay, so I think we have it. Thanks. Forgot the verse. Oh, doesn't have it then. Lauren, you've got... Oh, have you got it there? Did you have it? No, right. Okay, John, I think you had it there. And if we can get Andy, if you can bring up verse 17, please, of Romans 3. So let's read it out there, the verse that you've got.
Oh, I thought Ken was doing it. I'm doing it. Let's...
7 and 8, was it?
Yep. Okay. Their feet run to do evil and they rush to commit murder. They think only about sinning, misery and destruction always follow them. They don't know where to find peace or what it means to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads and no one who follows them knows a moment's peace.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. Big hand for everyone. Thank you for taking part. Guys, if you could take your chairs back, thanks. It'd be great. Just drop the Bibles there. And thank you very much, mentors. That was fantastic. Great. If you take those chairs back, that'd be great. Beauty. I'll grab a Bible there. Mine's been flogged. It's over there. Wonderful. So we've seen here that there's very much a backing up. Now, a little later, we're going to have a look at the young inform the old. That's what I want to finish with in a little bit of time. But I want to finish with the last passage that we looked at today, the last part of the passage, and understand the key verse that I want to bring our attention to, probably the culmination of this passage. A few weeks ago, I handed out my notebook so we could write down probably a key verse in each chapter. We've seen in Romans 1, the just shall live by faith, in Romans 2, God's kindness will lead us to repentance. And in Romans 3, we have here in 23 a key verse that says, and some of us will know it for many years, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the sinning that would end up God's grace abounding more and more, this children of God principle is not the way to go. Paul is saying their condemnation when others look at us and seeing our hypocrisy is a real stain and besmirch on the church. This is not the way we're to go. Then he lays out that this is the result and this has been the sort of things that we've been doing, all of us, from time immemorial. So the turning around of this comes at the end here. But the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed through the law and the prophets. Through faith in Jesus Christ, there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, sometimes I find it's interesting, and particularly in youth work, because we have an indication or a situation where we're talking to people about what it is that they know and understand of the reality of becoming a Christian. And sin is certainly mentioned, and it's certainly mentioned at the time that someone comes to faith. But I find so many times that later on people say, this is a lifestyle that I think I can live quite independently of the church and the Bible. I've learnt the good moral teachings of the church. Have you heard that before? Or I believe I've learnt the moral teachings of Jesus because he was a good moral teacher and I like what it is that he says, but I don't need the church stuff. A good friend of mine says, Tony, I like everything about the church but the church itself. So don't ask me to church. I like all that other stuff. And this is the reality of a lot of people in the position we find ourselves in. So we've come to faith, we understand that our sin has been put at the foot of the cross, cross over there, we understand the principle of this, but so many I find late teens, early 20s move away from that. How do we avoid that? By understanding that we are sinners saved by grace. And though we keep falling back into this, we depend upon God's grace, not because we do it so that God can forgive us, because we find there's times that we fall and we sin and we fall from the place that we should be. God will forgive us. But understanding this, that all of us are short of God's glory. It seems to be this thing of pride that I mentioned walking up and down. I see in the faces of people walking up and down is that I don't need God. And we see in this list here, all have turned aside. None seeks after God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. A serious situation we find ourselves. But in Romans 3:24, arguably just as important as Romans 3:23, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is the only way. And this morning there may be folk here who have come for whatever reason, and you've turned up, you've been led here, who have not come to that place of realizing their state before God and understanding the sin that separates us. Each one of us all have sinned. And if we can put verse 23 up again, thanks. It's fairly clear. It's not some, it's not most, it's all. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. None of us will achieve the glory that God has for us in heaven or even on earth for that matter. But verse 24 again, thanks. But understanding that we are justified freely through his grace. I've probably said enough today. I want to finish with a cameo. Before I do that, I want to finish with a cameo of how youth can inform us. But I want to ask for those who have not come to that place of accepting the justification that comes through Jesus Christ to consider today. The Bible says a number of times, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we can choose to turn and accept. And sometimes as a pastor, you make the mistake of scanning the room and thinking, oh yes, I think I know where everyone stands, but I don't. There's always people here that I don't know. So we're going to finish with a short time of prayer in which we can consider our state before God, where we stand. It may be that we've come to a place where we know that we've dabbled in the cheap grace. We're believers, we've been a believer perhaps for many years. Or maybe this list of sins, we have a look and say, well, actually, some of that's me. God has not become something that I am in awe of or respect for or even fear. God has become a little bit commonplace in my life. The work that Jesus did on the cross, I've heard so many times, it's gone over and over. It's not new for me anymore. Maybe there's a conviction that we have here as we consider this. And lastly, it may be for those of us for the first time, we're in a position where we are prepared and able to accept. So I'm just going to pray a prayer to cover those three areas, and then I'm going to finish with a cameo from the youth. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word to us and the indication that you say in each of those three stages. Forgive us if we have taken the grace that we first accepted with gratitude, and it's become something that we habitually fall into, knowing that God will forgive us, and we have cheapened it. Lord, maybe for us it's the list of the sins that are mentioned here, where we honestly say to ourselves, my tongue has practiced deceit. What I've been saying is like poison to those who are hearing it. And even though I might say all the right words when I went with Christian friends, many times my mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. It's not them, it's us, it's me that refers to. And Lord, I'm so sorry, and I don't want to deal with that before you today. Or maybe today you've come and you're in the position and thinking that this is a place that you've been drawn to for whatever reason. Lord, I pray for those in the position that have not yet come to giving their lives to you. And if that's you today, if you're in that position just with our eyes closed, I want you to acknowledge that for the first time, or maybe this is a recommitment after a long time away from that, that you would like to say, I want to become a Christian today. I want to acknowledge that I stand before God convicted of the guilt because of the sin in my life. But I know that you freely justify, Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that I can do. I need to accept your gift of forgiveness. Turn from my sins and ask you to become Lord of my life. If that's you, just with every eye closed, just raise your hand and just take the opportunity to do that now in the quiet. Holy Spirit, we thank you for hovering and being in this place. We pray every week for your manifest presence, and we thank you for the conviction of sin, the presence and the walking alongside for when that is dealt with. We thank you for being with us today and all that you are saying and doing. And we thank you for your word to us. Amen. If you responded to any of those areas and would like to come up to the end after the service, just as we're having morning tea, I'd love you to do that. I want to finish with a wee cameo. We talked about the old standing behind the young, and we saw that played out as people actively were involved in mentoring and showing that wonderful song that we had. So Annette, we might hear the whole song in a few weeks' time. So just to bone up on that, that'd be great. We'll find the words. Looking forward to that. It'd be fantastic. And so we're not just dobbing Annette. And one of you youth, who would like to learn the books of the Bible and be able to recite them? Anybody here? Putting their hand up. So for Annette to do that, which is a big call, but she's got it mainly nailed, and I'm sure she'd love to. Is that right, Annette? Who would like to also, who would like to, maybe Jesse? Maybe, I don't need to look right across this way. Who would like, some of the youth would like to learn all the books, or someone under 32, shall we say, who would like to learn the books of the Bible and be able to either sing them with Annette or recite them? Sorry? It can be two? Yes, everyone do it together? Right, okay. Have you got it?
No, do we come
on? Oh, you need to learn them. Have you got them learned now?
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. No, you have a seat.
I thought you were going to help us.
No, not help. Yeah, we could go through and say the whole thing, but no, it'll be done in due course. So when Annette's ready, she's going to put the challenge back to the youth group and they'll get that nailed. Okay. Now, I mentioned about the old standing behind the young. One of the things we need to be aware of is for the young is they will inform us of what's going on. We've had a few different meetings this week. We did some packing of Bibles that are going to go to various schools, some stamping rather of Bibles. And some of the guys have been out. We've been out with a few of the guys talking 101, 1 and 2. And I was talking with Cam earlier in the week, and Cam said to me, it's the difference in the words that older teachers use compared to younger teachers that gets the message across. And of course, I like to think I'm able to communicate with different ages. And so he says, now, Tony, you know, just too many words. Or need to be a bit different, you know. And so the good thing about the young informing the old is they're pretty direct. That's probably not a bad thing. So we'll bring the first pick up, if you wouldn't mind, Andy. This is a picture of Nick's bike. And Nick's bike occasionally, what happens, Nick, the chain comes off the bottom when you back pedal? Yeah. So that happens with your bike? Is that the issue? So chain comes off. You know what that's like? Terrible situation. So Nick was pretty sure that it was this particular device, and who knows, it may well be that's the device. And we're going to do the Bibles on Wednesday night at Gideon's, and one of the guys says, you need a narrow wide. And no debate, you need a narrow wide. And Nick says, oh, well, I've got a thing, thanks very much. No, you need a narrow wide. And I'm listening to this going backwards and forwards. One of the wonderful things about dealing with youth is none of this sort of, well, wonderful, but challenging things. The diplomacy isn't there. You need this, go do this, et cetera, et cetera. And we need to be aware, could I say to the mentees, that if we are dealing and mentoring some of these guys, we're going to get this back. Our temptation, this is a wee bit of a teaching session, I guess, our temptation is to modify this, to talk about things like subtlety and diplomacy and the use of words and et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes we miss the meaning because we get caught up in the diplomacy, shall we say. And so Nick then went down to a bike shop and did something else, and he may end up finding out that he needs this particular thing. But the reason I mentioned that is the way the words are used is something that we might find rude or indirect, or sometimes we might just say it's too short. But actually there's something to be said. So here's another picture I want to mention, just as a wee cameo. This is a picture, probably the best view I've ever seen over Christchurch. Wednesday night, we went and did these Bibles. We put these stamps in for Gideon's. And afterwards, the guy who was taking us took us out to McDonald's. And then Cam said, hey, bit of a ringleader, you're probably hearing. Hey, Tony, we should go up the top of the hill and look at the views. And I'm thinking, responsible parent, still the holiday. Sorry, not quite the holidays, Wednesday night. I could see time ticking away. And we're sort of getting away at McDonald's about 9:45. I thought, what would a responsible youth leader do? What would a responsible adult do, etc.? Now, son, can you come up here for a quick second? Between Sandra and I, we have different giftings and abilities, and we've done this thing called Strength Finders. Now, Strength Finders gives lists of various strengths that you have. One of us has responsibility quite high up on the list. Who do you think that might be between Sandra and I? Yeah. Now, if there was responsibility over there, hun, if you could go and stand over in the new ward over there. So that's the responsible position. And this is the midline. Where would I be? Why is everyone pointing over here? So anyway, I just want to tell you how the influence of things, honey, you can have a seat. The influence on my wife meant that I even thought about that. Normally I said, yeah, let's go for it. So I thought about that and thought maybe we should do the right thing. And so anyway, we're driving along and we didn't leave till 9:45. This is still a school night. I'm thinking about the witness to the parents, et cetera, et cetera. Sandra's influence coming across here. So we're driving up and we sort of head, where do we go? Just ages up back behind, where do we turn off? Mount Pleasant. So we're heading up Mount Pleasant, and I think, oh, look, that's pretty good. Turning around, thinking, that's a good enough view, that'll do. And Cam said, oh, just go a bit further. So we keep on driving, and by then it's sort of like 10 past 10, and we're not even there yet. And he said, just turn right on the Summit Road. And I said, flop, we're right up the top. We go to Summit Road, then there's a little bit of a cul-de-sac where you can park. I said, that's pretty good. So we stopped. He said, oh, there's just a couple of gates to open. So fortunately, the people carrier we got happens to be four-wheel drive. So we opened this gate and we're going on this rutted farm track. We really did need four-wheel drive for it. And I said, surely we've gone far enough. Surely, Cam, because all the other guys are eager in their minds, so you can see there, Jono and Abby and Gonna were also part of the crew. Surely we've got, no, keep going. So we go through a second gate, then a third gate, and the time keeps on ticking. We finally get to the top by this large transmitter, and Cam says, oh, we can park here. And he said, we've just got to walk a wee way. And I thought, well, how far are we going to have to walk? So we get out our torches, and we're walking over this rocky, hilly stuff, and I said, surely we must be there. So we've just got to get to this top by this trig station. We get to this trig station. Finally, I think it was about 11 o'clock by then. No, not quite. 10:30, and there's the most amazing view because you can stand in one spot. You can see the sea. We could almost see your place, Liz. You can see the port and just about all of Littleton. It's a very steep drop. You wouldn't want to step into it. And looking back the other way, well, you can't see it that clearly, is a panoramic view of the city. The point I want to make is these guys are teaching us and informing us of the sorts of things and the ways they want to do ministry. It doesn't just finish with the stamping of the books, which we did. There's got to be food afterwards. There's got to be fun. We've got to go for a trip. We've got to have a bit of a look. So the whole night is mixed up in an event, in a relational occasion. Now, I'm sure that many of us know that. But after a while, we get into the habit of, we come to church, we've done our thing, we grab a coffee on the way at the door and we shoot out. This is a big deal for these guys. I'm not putting a plug for the youth, but this is a youth service and want to make the point that the way they inform us, firstly, as we saw with the picture of the bikers very directly, and secondly, the way in which they do things and will do church in future is going to be quite different. So just wanted to sort of lay that out there for us. Think of the story when you see that of what was behind that and look at the amazing picture. So very happy chaps after a haul right up the top of the hill there. I'm just going to close and pray, and if we could have our last song here. Father God, thank you for our youth, and we thank you that this at the end of a youth service we are able to recognise them and understand the journey that they have started. All of them here have made the decision to follow you. All of the youth that at least I'm aware of have made that decision. And as they begin that journey, we thank you for those that have been on the journey for some time. We thank you for the mentors that were able to impart in many varied and creative ways, as we saw just here, how they can not only learn, but how they can learn how to learn. How they can then teach them so they can find it out for themselves. Father, I would pray prophetically that the mentors in this church, the leaders of these youth, would not just teach them stuff, but teach them how to teach themselves this in future. How do they find it in the Bible themselves? How do they discern it themselves? So, Father, I pray that maybe even though this was unscripted and done directly, that there would be those that would see each of these youth and say, I want to connect with you one-on-one. And, Father, help us to have the grace when the youth are short or direct, or you don't want to do that, or there's too many words or whatever, to understand that is the way they communicate. And help us, Lord, also to go the extra mile to see the view from their perspective. To see it the way that they see it and understand that there's no point in going to our old places and looking and saying, hey, wouldn't that be enough? Wouldn't that be amazing? But to see the view, Lord, from the way they see it. We thank you for your word to us this morning, for the lessons we've all learned from each other, and for the way that you've been moving, Holy Spirit. We pray a blessing on the rest of today and for our time together in morning tea and then lunch, and a real blessing on the baptism this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for not only convicting but walking alongside us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing one final song this morning. Your grace is enough.